I've been very impressed with the committee's website. It's just packed full of information and very nicely done, too. And I was wondering how the internet has contributed to the success of small environmental groups.
Alan? Yeah, I think it probably has. We've got some members that have saw the website and emailed us, and we've got them involved.
And is it a good way to share information among groups as well?
I think so, and it provides the kind of history that you're talking about. You know, it's there, and it's we've put up, for example, the Burnaby Mountain Management report we have up on our website. So if you want to see what the city has failed to do, you can see it up there.
Well, in fact, I did notice that the 2000 plan was on your site, because I'm not sure I could find it actually at the city, but anyway, I found it on your site.
I think what I have found is that if you look at stream keeping and who is going to carry on the work, is that you're always going to have an evolution that you need to get the young people involved, because one day when I'm no longer here, hopefully the young people will carry on the vitally important work that we're all collectively doing. So the Great Salmon Send-Off is where your first community involvement, that passion where those people, those children, release those fish, and hopefully by doing that we're planting seeds and those people will become future stream keepers. What we did this year was we had a Facebook website for the Great Salmon Send-Off.
Okay.
And I believe we probably started, it was around about February, March, where we got this website up and running. So we would put photographs of sunsets, of things that were happening in the watershed, the first leaves coming out, the frogs croaking, all the things that were happening through the calendar year to build up the momentum. And about a month or so before the Great Salmon Send-Off, we actually paid some monies to Facebook to have the Great Salmon Send-Off website pop up when people would like log into things about Burnaby. And the result this year was that we had more people show up. So the internet is the tool of communication for the younger people and drawing people in, you know, and like everything else, we're hoping to, we have a project in place right now where two of our volunteers are actively working to improve and better our website to make it work better.
Oh, that's great. I noticed, of course, that you have SFU environmental science students working on projects, and you have links to their reports. Tell me how that came about. How did that program come about?
I think I was probably the one that that tried to get that started. We we had conversations with a sessional instructor, and we were trying to get the students to do their work on Stony Creek rather than somewhere else in the province, and so they did that. But the real problem from our perspective up at SFU is the total transient nature of the instructors. There are very few full-time people up there anymore. They're sessional instructors. They get hired for one term and then they go off somewhere else. So trying to provide continuity of projects and the like is really, really difficult. And it's all down to communication. The first year, the material was put up on Simon Fraser's archiving site. The library has a site named escapes me for the moment, but it'll come. Summit, I think they call it.
I think, yes, that's right.
Okay, so, but then the second year, a different instructor, and I said, well, are you going to put this up on Summit? And he says, what's Summit? You know, so they just don't, there's no continuity whatsoever in the way those things work up there. And I had on my January the 1st to-do list to go back and talk to some people up there and get it going, but I just haven't done it. The Jeremy Vendetti's father died just the day before we were going to have a meeting, and you know, everything is just very, very difficult to get people together up there.
Yeah.
And the complement of time that we have, Alan and I have been talking about trying to go and talk with one of the research fellows up there, gentleman Dr. Jonathan Murr, but you know, we're just so consumed with all the other things we're involved with. Yeah, we want to get it done, and yeah, I should have done it, but you know,
well,
time is off the essence, and you know, sometimes I find I'm just overwhelmed. I just do not have the time to do all the things I need to get done.
I was just thinking that this year, 2015, is the 50th anniversary for SFU, and one of their narratives is all about engagement. That's kind of the buzzword, engagement.
It's only a buzzword.
Well, I was wondering if it could, is that a way to appeal to SFU, that this shows their engagement?
When they did their Envision SFU exercise a year or so ago, I submitted several suggestions. I got absolutely zip, nothing.
Oh.
You know, so it's words, there's no action involved.
You see, one of the things that irks me is the university loves to use the word green, loves to use the word sustainability, and unfortunately, reality for me is that a lot of it is a total illusion. For example, the university currently heats its plant with a centralized steam plant that burns natural gas. Now, what they're talking of doing is getting rid of their natural gas boilers and installing a wood pellet burning facility in the whole illusion that this is green, that this is good for the environment. Now, you'd think the first person that they would consult would be the chief engineer of the steam plant. But all these meetings have taken place at a senior level. He hasn't been asked to participate. He hasn't been asked for his valued opinion. It's all been done at a senior level. And this whole camouflage that somehow this is more sustainable and better than what they have. It's, to me, as a person who is a poor engineer and has fired and burned fields and boilers, to go from what you have right now to start trucking up pellets, the cost of that, then you're going to have a storage facility. Then you're going to have mechanical equipment and systems to move it all. Then you're going to have to dispose of all the ash and the burned of it. So if you take the total imprint of the effect on the environment, it comes down to the argument of the Hummer H3 versus the Toyota Prius. Over a lifetime, the Hummer H3 has less of an environmental footprint on the planet than the Toyota Prius. But try telling that to someone who doesn't know the facts and hasn't seen the study from the University of Connecticut that proved it. It's never have so many been lied to by so few. That comes from Swedenborg.
That's great.